So we have so much to be thankful today.
Amen.
I have spoken with most of the people in the parish, and virtually everyone tells the same story. Lots of stuff down in the yard. Pretty much nothing hit the house. Just a little bit of damage here and there. But essentially, we have dodged the bullet. Thanks be to God indeed. So we find ourselves, to a great extent, much like the lepers in our gospel today. So let's look at that, shall we? Let's go to St. Luke's gospel. I know you were just begging for a reading from St. Matthew today, weren't you? So St. Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers, and they stood afar off. Now realize that leprosy is not necessarily the same disease that we think of as leprosy today. But nevertheless, it was debilitating both physically and socially. Because being contagious, it meant that you were an outcast. Literally, you were cast out of society. You couldn't be a part of society because you had something that was catching and they forced you out of society. You had to be, in the days when the Hebrews were traveling through the wilderness, you couldn't be within a camp. You had to go outside. And in fact, when Jesus says priests, that is a throwback to the time when they were wandering in the wilderness, and the rules were, if you were healed, cured, it got better, whatever the case were, if you'd think you didn't have it anymore, you had to go to the priest to be inspected. And the priests gave you the once-over, the medical professionals of the day, and go, okay, yeah, you're good. You can be back into society. So these people were not only sick, they were cut off from society. They couldn't be with their families. They couldn't be with their friends. They couldn't enjoy any of the services that society gave to people. They were cut off from, I don't know, power. They didn't have JEA. They did. Their sewage was cut off. And they lifted up their voices and cried, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. What did they expect from Jesus? Did they expect a healing? Did they expect him to come over and anoint them, to pick up mud and spit on it and cover their wounds and peel it off and have them be healed? Did they expect him to lay hands on them? Did he expect them just to say, hi guys, how you doing? Have some water, have some bread. Because that was more than they got from anybody else. So when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priests. Note, that's it. He didn't lay hands on them. He didn't pick up mud and spit in it. He didn't raise up his hands and say, you know, mumbled. He didn't speak in tongues over them. He didn't do anything. He just said, go show yourself to the priests.
Amen.
And they did. Which, truth be told, shows a pretty good deal of faith in this guy.
Amen.
For all 10 of them. I mean, if I have some debilitating disease, and some guy walks around the road and we're saying, hey, have mercy on us. He says, go show yourself to the priests. It's a big leap of faith to turn around and go show yourself to the priests and go, hey, some wandering prophet said I needed to go tell you I was healed. You know, this is actually pretty good. This is tremendously faith-filled on their part. So they go. Give them a little bit of credit. And as they go, they're healed. That's tremendous in and of itself. they make that step of faith. Bravo, lepers. Not lepers anymore. But there's that one who, by the way, Scripture makes very clear is a Samaritan. He's a foreigner. He ain't from about these parts. Actually, the Samaritans were people who had been formerly Israelites. They had been conquered by Assyria, taken off into captivity, and the Assyrian culture, the Assyrian religion had permeated their culture to their, they were now sort of Assyrian, Israeli half-breeds. Sort of what we would think of now when we think of something like Santeria. It's sort of like island mumbo-jumbo meets Roman Catholicism all rolled into one. It's neither, and it's not good, whatever way you look at it. Okay? The Samaritans, they weren't Israelites, and they weren't Assyrians, and nobody really liked them. But this one Samaritan, who had been a leper, who was outcast, he's healed. Now these other nine, they're healed too. But this one realizes, he goes, hey, I'm healed. The others are just marching on. By the way, they're doing what they're told. They're being obedient. But this one turns around and he goes back. And he finds Jesus and he falls on his face and he thanks him. What happened to the other nine? Was only this foreigner? Only this half-breed? This whatever this guy is, was he the only one who found to give thanks? Now I said there's a lot of people like this. There's a lot of lepers in Jacksonville today. Because there's a lot of different attitudes about Matthew today. Really there are. There, you know, this was supposed to be the storm of the century. This was supposed to be the storm that destroyed Jacksonville beaches, that devastated. This was supposed to rewrite the shape of the eastern seaboard. And it didn't. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And there are people right now who are ticked off about it. There are people who are mad. There are people who are irritated that those devils on the news got us worked up for nothing. Right? That they had all these mandatory evacuations and we had to leave town and they had to, you know, go through all this hassle and they got us all worked up just for extra ratings and so that they could get their ratings up and sell more gallons of water and that all this happened and, you know, what did we get? We got extra trees down in our yards. And or there are people who are frustrated about this and frustrated about that, and they're just, they may not be angry at the news for getting everybody all worked up, but they're angry at the fact that they don't have power. Don't get me wrong. I didn't have power for like 24 hours. We had some candles. We had some flashlights. We had all of our devices fully charged. We were good for about 4 hours. Once the iPods ran out, we had our own little six-person zombie apocalypse in the house. It was like a miniature version of The Walking Dead. I had one person just asleep in the corner, one kind of banging his head against a wall. Dog was chewing on somebody's ankle. It was terrible. It was terrible. I told Bishop Simpson when he called to check on us, I said, I know for certain that my family will never survive the tribulation. It's just not going to happen. Just best of luck for the rest of you. We'll be dead in like the first week, okay? You know, I don't know about pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib rapture. I don't know about any of all that. But man, I'm hoping for pre-trib because good Lord have mercy. But all that being said, there are people who are still angry that they don't have power. Amen. Or they're angry that there's trees down in their yard and they have to go about the hassle of getting these trees out and getting all this and cleaning this up and cleaning that. Or they have to rake their yard and cut up branches and they have to do these things. Amen. Okay? And there are people who are otherwise just thinking, maybe they're not angry, they're not frustrated, maybe they're just relieved. You know, they're just, whew, bullet dodged. No, not bless God, just bullet dodged. No credit given anywhere, just dodge that one. We got lucky, exactly. It just skirted us. No credit given, no thanksgiving. It just went this way. Okay. Granted, that's a much better attitude to have than to be angry at the news or angry at JEA or angry at trees, and because, you know, being angry at trees is really helpful. People all benefit from being angry at trees. But we need to be mindful of the fact that south of us, the death toll in Haiti is 865 and rising. In counties south of us, there are people who died. Not many, thanks be to God, but people died. There are whole portions of St. John's County that our roads are washed out, businesses are destroyed. True, we dodged a bullet. Amen. But other counties did not. In Georgia, they don't even know how much damage is done. St. John's County, they're talking about $2 billion of damage. And we can look at this and we can be frustrated. We can be angry. We can be relieved, or we can thank God. We can thank God, and we can be mindful of the fact that as we see in the epistle to St. James, we know that every good gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. This was a gift. We didn't get lucky. God spared us. I don't know why he spared us instead of Haiti or St. John's County or Glynn County or Camden County. I don't know why. I'm grateful. Thanks be to God that there wasn't damage at this church, that our people didn't lose homes, that our people didn't lose lives. Thank you, God. Now what? What, do we just say thanks? The scripture makes a certain point. And in this case, it's really relevant. Because it says, the man was a Samaritan. And Luke makes a good point about Samaritans. Because there's a rich young ruler who comes up and says, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells the story about the good Samaritan. When things like this happen, we want to go back to our lives as quickly as possible. Okay. Go back to normalcy. We have to remember that our neighbors further south, further north, off at the beach, some of them have been devastated. They have been decimated. 850-something dead in Haiti. The Bahamas, they're still trying to figure out how much has gone on. We know that one of our clergy in the Bahamas has had to flee his home because it was completely flooded. We don't even know what's happened to the church. So there's going to be work to do. And we have to be mindful that our call to be prepared, to take care of what we have to do to prepare for the storm and to rebuild after the storm doesn't end when we look at our homes and go, okay, we're good. Because Jesus calls us to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And remember that the Samaritans are our neighbors, which means everybody, even those bleepity bleeps that you can't stand. The people to the south of us, the people to the north of us, the people who are abroad, we need to be in a mindset of saying, how can we help? So yesterday afternoon, my dad and I came up here to clean out the parking lot. There was a big branch that was down. We were going to cut it down, drag it out to the street. And this is not one of those, oh yes, what a great pastor I am, because it was already done. Wasn't much work to do, just raked up some leaves. And more importantly than that, there was some guy from the neighborhood who came in and just grabbed a rake, started doing it.
Thank you, Lord.
Like, and you are, my name's Joseph. I just want to help out the church.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, cool. So he just raked up leaves with us the whole time. Now, really, whoever did it did a whole bunch of work because there wasn't much left for us to do. So thanks be to God and whoever else did the heavy lifting. And thanks be to Joseph for doing the work with us, because many hands make light work, and he was much younger than either of us. So much more energetic. But we need to be in that same mindset. We need to be mindful of the fact that we who have should give to those who have not. And there's a lot who are in great, great struggles right now. Because the storm may have passed, but the damage didn't go with it. So in the next days, as you go back to work, remember that there are people who can't. There are people who still don't have electricity. There are people who still don't have access to those basic things that we need. And you don't have to do some epically heroic thing to help them out. If your neighbor doesn't have electricity, take them dinner. Take them some cold drinks. Help them out. You don't necessarily have to invite them to stay with you, but do something to help them. Find some way to help someone who needs it in this time, because that's what our call is. We are not called to be isolationist. We are called to be the opposite thereof. We are called to reach out in love and share that love, because that is how we spread the kingdom of God. The Old Testament today, we have a foreigner, Naaman, who gets angry. He's a Syrian. And the prophet tells him, go wash yourself in the River Jordan and you'll be cleansed. And he gets angry. It's like, man, aren't there good enough rivers in Syria that I have to come over here to Israel and wash myself in this dinky little river? And his men are like, hey, if the prophet would have told you to go on some like epic quest, wouldn't you have done it?
Amen.
Well, yeah. If you'd have climbed to the top of Mount Blue and fetch me the flower that blooms one day a year, and then grind it into a powder and snort it through your left nostril while whistling Dixie. What's Dixie? Doesn't matter. You'll figure it out. Would you do it? Well, of course I would. So he tells you to do something simple. What are you complaining about? Okay. So he goes, he bathes, he figures it out. He's healed. God isn't calling us to do something tremendously outlandish. He's calling us to love our neighbors. That's what we're called to do. Reach out to them, bless them, help them. Those who are close to us, those who are injured, those who are in need. This is a perfect time to show the love of God. That is our call. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.